Today we're going to be talking from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 23. This is at a time when Peter was in Rome. It was a time of great persecution when Nero was persecuting Christians. And so it's a really relevant passage about enduring times of trial. And so we'll begin in verse 11 through 23. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials as he has appointed, for the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and honor those who do right. It's God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. You who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. For God is pleased when conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong, but if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, and even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly.
Thank you. It's true that what we value shows up in our lifestyle. Look at a person's life. Look at how they're spending their time, talent, treasure, and touch. Those are the common human resources that we all have. Evaluate how a person spends those resources, and it tells you what they value, what they value most. The Peters of this world were challenged to live out what they valued in a society that really didn't value Christianity very much. Oh, wow, he wrote over 2,000 years ago, and here we are. Here we are. We're making our way in a world that, well, doesn't necessarily value the same things that we do. If you listen to the conversations, and I'm a good listener to other people's conversations, I'm a people watcher when I go places, and it's amazing the things that if you're making yourself small, so to speak, as you listen, it's amazing what people will say, what they will reveal to other people. In fact, it's amazing to me what people will reveal to other people that they don't know. They haven't seen them for longer than the first half hour of the plane ride, and when they land, they're going in opposite directions, but for a moment, there's a connection. There's a real conversation going on there. That conversation is going on all around us, and if you listen, you'll hear it. I believe people are still seeking God. They are seeking to connect with the God of the universe. In fact, I had a laugh the other day. I read something and somebody said, well, what you need to do is pray to the universe about what you need, and then the universe will give it to you. Have you heard anybody say that? Have you read that? It's everywhere right now. And I love that idea because I want to say, okay, first of all, if the universe is listening and the universe is giving you something, then the universe actually has a personality, doesn't it? Ooh. Oh, it's not this inanimate object. Now we've made the shift from the universe at least to a supreme being. And with most people, when I can get them to that part of the conversation, now we're going somewhere. Oh, okay, so there's a supreme being. Is he way up there and he doesn't care and he's too far away to do anything? Or as you raise, the universe wants to give you things if you ask for them. I happen to believe that this higher power is actually a personality, a person. Now, this conversation is a conversation taking place all over the world, all over this world in Squim. People are looking to connect with God or the universe or a higher power. In looking for that, what they are looking for in their life is more meaning and purpose. A meaning and purpose that maybe goes beyond just our own personal needs. We've seen a lot of startup companies as they've begun, especially led by 20 and 30-year-olds, they've got a mission that they're on. You buy one of my products, and I will give one of those products away in a third world country. Or if you buy this product, then, you know, a dollar of what you've purchased goes to this very good fund, this very good opportunity that needs to be addressed in our community or in our world. That is about looking for more meaning and purpose than just my own life. In fact, I think we try to grab a hold of the idea that there are some things that seem to be, well, eternal in this world. A few signposts kind of heading us in a direction that there's something, well, yeah, there is something after I die. And what is that? Is that becoming kind of one with the cosmos? Is then I start this process of paying for all of my bad things that I did. All the bad karma has to be turned around so that I can finally, you know, be liberated and free. And what's interesting as we start to look at the meaning and the purpose of life that people are looking for, they're looking for meaning and purpose beyond themselves and beyond the grave. Beyond themselves and beyond the grave. So, who's going to tell them? How are we going to tell them? I think there's always a great opportunity for us to be spiritual tour guides for other people. Many times people look at the pastor or the staff of a church and say, oh, well, you know, they're going to do it. We pay them to do it. And the amazing thing is you get a lot more opportunity than we do. You know the people in your sphere of influence who need guiding, need directing. And they're looking to connect with God. They're looking for some meaning and purpose in their life. They're feeling around for things eternal, and they just need somebody to help them along the way. Point the way. Share a word of truth or reality with them. Well, the scene, as Rick has already mentioned in 1 Peter, is Christians are being abused. They're being punished for being Christians. They're being tortured. They're being thrown into jail. Some are even being put to death. A challenging environment. What does Peter say to those that read his letter. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Wow. Now, he could be saying that to us. You have lots of unbelieving neighbors around you. I know that because I know how many people don't go to church in the Squim Dungeness Valley. I know how many people don't go to church. Your neighbors may know that you are a pastor. Your neighbors may know that you're an attender at Squim Community Church. Your neighbors may know that you're a part of this or a part of that as an extension of this church. And we'd like to think that, well, half of us came from California, so we'd like to believe that they don't even really want to know us. We're not sure we want to know them. Yet they are looking. They are watching. They see us come and go. They see the interaction that we have with other people. Many people will come here kind of checking out the Christian community. What's it like to be at Squim Community Church? And they'll come here because they can hide out a little bit and watch how we do what we do. And I know they're watching and they're looking because of the comments they give me on the first impression cards. They've come, but nobody really talked to me. I came, but you know, I noticed that, you know, there wasn't any sense of inviting me to everything else that's going on in the life of the church. And so people are looking. They're looking at us. And it's okay, we're not perfect models of Jesus Christ. And even though we're not perfect models of Jesus Christ, we're pointing the way to him. And really, even in our failure, that's a very human thing. And the whole idea that we can make a mistake and ask for forgiveness and God forgives us for that, man, that's something that needs to be modeled in this world today. Peter brings up three challenges of living your faith out in an environment that is hostile, negative. And here with Peter, and I think with us, it's not neutral. We're way beyond neutrality at this point. We can feel the push and the shove of those that are headed in the same direction that we're headed in, and those that are still trying to make their way to it or are in trying to be indifferent to it or are actually living in the other direction as they make their way through the world. How to be a good example to your unbelieving neighbors. Peter says that gets down to three things. Number one, how you deal or don't deal with temptation. Verse 11, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from the worldly, he means the bad or the evil, desires that wage war against your very soul. Feel like you're in a war? At times. At times. I feel like I'm making my way at times through a battlefield of sorts. A sense that there's a conflict going on as I make my way. The more we understand the Word of God, the more we understand what Peter is talking about, that we're being pulled, that we're being tempted by things in this world. And it's true, the internet doesn't make that any easier for most of us. It makes it more difficult. the fact that we become a little more isolated and a little more in our own space in this world, that's not helping us. That's not helping us. So, how do we win the challenge over temptation? And I think temptation is the thing, at least for me, it tests the strength of my loyalty to God. It tests the strength of my loyalty to God. God loves me and he loves me unconditionally. And the challenge is, am I going to love him back? And am I going to love him back when it's not easy for me? And everybody has their not easy place. I may not know what your not easy place is, but I know this, everybody's got one. Everybody's got something that they're drawn to do or think or say that's not holy, not encouraging, not positive, not good for them, and not good for you. Everybody gets tempted. Now, how do we win the challenge of the temptations in this world? Number one, you got to identify honestly what it is. What are those dangerous, enticing habits for you? Now, many of us are fairly open about what those things are. One of the things I appreciate, like in an AA meeting, is the honesty that goes on there, the openness that goes on there. Hey, this is a enticing, dangerous thing for me. And I am working hard, maybe literally one day at a time. I am working at staying away from that which is bad for me, bad for other people. An enticing, dangerous behavior. And I think we have to line them up. I think we have to be honest that they have power over us. And instead of just giving into it and trying to ignore it, we need to speak it for what it is. We have to be honest with ourselves about it. And as we're honest about that, then we're able to, Romans 12:2, we're able to switch the channel. You got to change the channel. Now, changing the channel might literally mean changing the channel. It might literally mean getting off the website that you're on right now. It might also mean that I have to be honest about how close to the bar do I need to be before I feel the attraction of that. How far away do I have to be from them before I feel the enticement, the dangerous enticement of my behavior? And once we're honest, then we can be honest about how much attraction there is. How much power that does have in our life, that we're giving it in our life. And so I think we need to switch our brains. We need to switch the channel. We need to switch relationships. We need to switch circumstances and relationships from those that might be evil or bad to those that are good and holy. And I get it. That's like the last thing you want to think about. Yes, the last thing you want to think about is the holiness of God. Why, oh man, do we feel guilty and shameful. Lord Jesus. The holiness of God is the last thing we want to think about because we like this little sin we have. We like this little behavior that we have. And it's true, there's some payoff to it or you wouldn't do it. So you have to be honest, you have to switch the channel. The third one, you have to exercise self-control. Now, notice self-control is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. By definition, in those situations, we don't have very good self-control. We're not revealing much self-control. Oh, we do really well until the dessert buffet is set right before us, right? It's not as though we're putting that in our cart all the time. Well, maybe you are. But then you go to someone else's house and, now the dessert buffet has been spread out before me. And now, I can't not eat really good, a little gooey chocolate chip cookies when they're put in front of me. It's not only about not buying them. It's about not having them be a part of our lives. And then when we're surprised or jumped one day by our bad, enticing, dangerous behavior, the chances are better that we'll say no than we will say yes. The more you say no, the more you will say no. The more you say yes, the more you will say yes. And that ability to say no in your moment of maybe really is a fruit of self-control in your life. Controlling yourself. Sometimes it's good to have an accountability partner, James says. I can tell you what, in this day and age, you got more accountability partners than you want to think about, right? Right? Don't you? Oh, just ask the owner of the Patriots about that. When I first got onto Facebook, my middle son said to me, "Dad, I'm going to give you one simple rule. If you don't want the whole world to know it, don't put it on your Facebook page. Because if you put it on your Facebook page, it's possible that everybody in the world will know what your feelings were that day." We need to say no. We need self-control. Sometimes we need a little help with someone. And there are lots of opportunities for support for whatever is dangerously enticing to you in your life. I'm not saying you have to have a group, but you have to have somebody. And you ought to have at least one person that you can tell all those deep, dark secrets to. And if you don't have somebody, then rent one. It's called a therapist. I know, you pay, so for 50 minutes you can tell me all the things that scare the bejeebers out of you. I'm not sure what a bejeebers is, but that was the second thing that came through my mind, and I knew better than to say the first thing that came through my mind. See, dangerous enticement. You have a counsel. It could be a person, it could be a paid person. Somewhere in your life, you do need an accountability partner where you can say whatever is deep and dark inside of you to someone. Give some voice to it. If you're not honest about it with somebody, you're going to be dishonest about it with you. And that makes you dangerous. That makes you difficult. That makes you a person to avoid instead of a person to engage and encourage. So it's good to have someone who's holding us accountable. Somebody that we can be open and honest about. Finally, we need to rely upon the power of God's faithfulness in our life. I have had the pleasure to hang out with some people who frequent AA. And one of the things that I just love about how AA does what AA does is the whole idea that, yes, you have help if you want it. You have help. You have encouragement if you want it. There's a God up there. There's a supreme being up there, and he does want to help you have power over the things that, what, master you. And that's what Jesus says, you know, go into the world. Don't let evil things master who you are. And the things that master us, the things that are dangerous and enticing, those are the hard things to move away from in life. Peter wants you to know it's not only God that's watching, but there are other people who are watching you, looking at your life, and they're not looking with condemnation most of the time, by the way. They're looking at you, they're looking at us because they're hopeful there are some answers to the big questions of life that they're asking. Number two, we gotta respect authority. Some of us don't do that very well. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. Show respect. Now, it's not hard for you. Just talk to a policeman, policewoman, and ask them, is it better for me when you pull me over? Is it better for me to yell at you? Say, you know, hey, you were hiding over there. You're trying to entrap me. That's not fair. Right? Getting mad, cussing and swearing. The one I love, I almost brought that, is the lady who had the ticket, and she got it and she tore it up into a bunch of little pieces, and you see it kind of go out the window of her car onto the feet of the policeman. And I would have thought, now that's turning a $250 fine into about a $2,000 fine, right? Let me help you out. When you get pulled over, be polite. I'll tell you, be honest. Be polite. When we make our way through TSA, be polite no matter how crazy it seems. And I've had crazy as I've gone through TSA. Seriously, I've been on 4 planes already. Now you're going to make an issue of this? Come on. We are to show respect to people in authority because they have been put into authority, yes, many times by the vote, so to speak, of all of us, but ultimately we need to realize that that good force is there for a reason. It pushes back evil and it encourages good. I had the opportunity to speak on behalf of Judge Dave Newpert. And as we were together, I brought up this very point. If those who are good and who hold on to great and good values in their life are not present to push back the bad and the evil in this world, then we're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. And so we should be respectful of them. We should be respectful to everyone. And that's a challenge. Peter goes on and says, yes, God has put that authority in its place for a good reason, to push back evil and encourage good. And our job is to be respectful for that. Peter even goes on and says, and that has to do with your boss. Now, what have you said in the lunchroom about your boss? What have you said at happy hour on Friday after a difficult week's worth of work about your boss? Now, it doesn't mean that you have to think your boss is better than your boss really is, but when you go to happy hour on Friday night, don't say anything negative. It does go back to that gossip thing. If you've got issues with your boss, go to your boss. Don't thrash their character because now you're on your second margarita and it was a difficult week. We're to respect everyone. We're to highly respect those that have been placed in authority. And whether we like it or not, this person is the person that is your boss. And if you can't respect the person, at least respect the position. Understand the position that person's in. And when we understand it, it's amazing how we will be far more respectful to that person, gracious towards that person, even encouraging towards that person. The last thing is the tough thing, and that's suffering. It is the test of humanity. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Jesus, just as Christ suffered for you, you must follow his steps, the steps of Jesus. Now, when suffering comes your way, what is the Jesus model? I can tell you. Number one, you don't get to whine for very long. I have to say it that way because we all whine a little bit. It's not about whining. It's not about hurling insults and cussing at the suffering. It's not throwing yourself a pity party. It's not about getting even or doing even more to that other person. So you notice how graciously Jesus dealt with his injustice. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I think that there is a good and right way to stand against injustice in this world. Things that are not right, things that are not good, things that are evil. But if you're going to go live your faith out into the world where people are watching, you are going to suffer. I think I mentioned the businessman who became a Christian in my previous church. And he told me, he says, you know, the toughest thing about becoming a Christian is now I can't cheat in my business anymore. See, he sold furniture. You'd come to the showroom and you would look at a piece of furniture, and then a piece of furniture almost like that was delivered to your home. And people didn't know that, well, what they saw in the showroom was not what they were getting in their home. Now he's a Christian. Am I going to keep deceiving people? No. You know what that means? That means I'm not going to make as much money. Yeah, you might not make as much money doing things the right way. Wait, should I bring it up now because we're doing taxes? You know, most of the time there is a right way and a wrong way. And I can tell you, doing things the right way, you may very well suffer. I can tell you, I have suffered for doing what is right instead of what's convenient or easy. We need to do what is right and realize that part of humanity is suffering and part of being a Christian. Jesus suffered. We don't want to highlight the verses that say, Jesus suffered and so shall we. Most of us did not enter into a relationship with Jesus with the idea that we might have to suffer. We were looking for more meaning and purpose. Hey, we were looking for fire insurance. We know we're not Jesus. But as Jesus suffered, we can expect that we're going to suffer as well. But if you suffer for doing good, God is pleased with you. Sometimes it's a choice on whether someone else is going to be happy or whether God's going to be pleased with you. And whenever you're in that position, I can tell you, it takes a little out of you. You suffer a little bit in those circumstances. Peter says, how you spend your resources of time, talent, treasure, and touch. What you say and how you carry yourself out in the world, it matters. It matters. And the ante right now is not lower, it's higher than it's been in my lifetime, right now. Why? Because I think people want to connect with God. Why? I think people around me are still looking for meaning and purpose that exists concretely in this life, but also lasts for all eternity. I know that they're looking for someone who can guide them along the way. And when we resist temptation, when we show respect, when we realize that it means we're going to suffer a little bit from time to time, when we do those things, God uses us, and God uses us in the life of another person. Let us pray. Lord, first of all, we want to be honest with you about our temptations. We're not honest about them because we're ashamed of them. We feel guilty. Yet the greatest, freest way to live is for you to hear our confession and bring an absolution of forgiveness to our mind, heart, and soul. Lord, help us to be more respectful as we make our way. That's crucial in the conversations of life and in the living of life. And Lord, you know that most of us really didn't sign on for the suffering part, but we know it's part of the package. We know that that's the way life is, that there are moments of great joy and celebration, but Lord, there is also suffering and death in this world. Lord, we're thankful that the connection we have with you, the meaning and purpose that you bring to our life is not only good today, but it's good for all eternity. And we thank you for that. And we pray in your name. Amen.